B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed. We're going to start from the last line on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis. Omru loy echod Yavne ve'echod kolmokim sheyesh boi Beis Din. And we saw in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that even though they would not really blow the shofar on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, you don't blow the shofar, but for Zeichel Migdosh, where in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, in the Beis HaMikdosh, they would blow the shofar on Shabbos. And as a zecher, to remember the Beis HaMikdosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai decreed that after the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, that in the Beis Din, they would blow the shofar. And we saw in the Mishnah three opinions as to whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only allowed it in the Beis Din of 71, the Sanhedrin Gedolah, which is what Rabbi Loza's opinion was, Lehiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Elo biYavne belvad, only in Yavne, which is where the big Sanhedrin was. And Omruloi and the Tanakama, as well as the Omruloi, after the opinion of Rabbi Loza, they both hold that the Beis Din of 23 is sufficient, that any place that had a Beis Din of 23, one was allowed to blow the shofar there on Shabbos. The Machlokes Tanakama and the Omruloi after Rabbi Lazar is just whether the Beis Din which is there, does it have to be on a permanent basis, or even if it's there just temporary. The Tanakama say that Kol Mokim Sheish Beis Din, anywhere that you've got a Beis Din of 23, that's enough. And the Omruloi of Rabbi Lazar says, no, there's got to be some level of permanence similar to Yavne, and therefore, it's not if they're just passing by chance, then you cannot blow the shofar there on Shabbos. Only if they're there on a permanent basis, then one can blow the shofar there on Shabbos. So either way, we have here that in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, that after the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, any place that had a Beis Din, they were allowed to blow the shofar even on Shabbos. Omer Rav Huna said three words, very cryptic, and the Gemara is going to discuss it. V'im Beis Din, with Beis Din. And we have to know what that means. Now, in the following Gemara, we're going to discuss three factors. There's who is allowed to blow the shofar, where the shofar is blown, and when the shofar is blown. Who can blow the shofar? Can only Beis Din themselves blow the shofar, or the Shlichei Beis Din, the agents of Beis Din, can just they blow the shofar? Or can anybody blow the shofar if it conforms with a condition called Im Beis Din, with Beis Din? Now, where can it be blown? Does it have to be blown in front of the Beis Din, before the Beis Din, or as long as there's a Beis Din in the town, you can blow the shofar anywhere in the town? That's as far as where is concerned. And when? Is it only the first 6 hours of the day, which is the time of the day where the Beis Din is active? Or do we say no, as long as there's a Beis Din there, it doesn't matter what time of the day, any time of the day they can blow the shofar? These are the three points that we're going to discuss now. The who, the where, and the when. So all Rav Huna said was that this, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed them to blow the shofar in wherever there's a Beis Din, ve'im Beis Din, literally translated as with Beis Din. Asks the Gemara, my ve'im Beis Din, what do these words mean, ve'im Beis Din, with Beis Din? Says the Gemara, bifnei Beis Din. It's about where it's got to be before Beis Din. La'fuke shalei bifnei Beis Din, but if it's not in front of the Beis Din, deloi, then in that case, even though there's a Beis Din in the city, you're not allowed to blow the shofar. It's got to be before the Beis Din. Masiv Rava. Rava asked a question. We saw at the end of the Mishnah, V'oid zois, besides for something, we don't know what that something is yet, but besides for this, Hoyso Yerushalayim Yaseira al Yavne, there was something that Yerushalayim was more than Yavne, V'chulei, etc. And what was that? That Yerushalayim, it's not only in Yerushalayim proper, which is where the big Sanhedrin was, that you could blow the shofar. Rather, any place which could also see Yerushalayim, hear Yerushalayim, be close to Yerushalayim, and accessible from Yerushalayim, if any place that conforms to those four conditions has the same terms as Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is now asking, my v'oid zois. What do the two words v'oid zois? And this is another difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne. Ileim kedektoni, if the only difference is that one difference that the Mishnah brings, that regarding Yerushalayim, it's even if you are close by to Yerushalayim, not necessarily in Yerushalayim, that you can blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, whereas in Yavne, only by the Beis Din itself, then Zois Miboile, the Mishnah should have said, this is a difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne. Elo, so what is the Va'oid Zois, which seems that there's another difference between Yavne and Yerushalayim, which is not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, what would that be? Elo di Yerushalayim toikim yechidim, Ubayavna ein toikim yechidim. The Gemara is suggesting that it could be there's another difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne, and that's as far as who is allowed to blow the shofar. In Yerushalayim, even private people, individuals, could blow the shofar on Shabbos. Ubayavna ein toikim yechidim. But in Yavne, individuals cannot blow the shofar. The only ones that can blow the shofar are the agents of Beis Din. That's as far as who can blow the shofar. That's what the Gemara is suggesting now. Says the Gemara, Ubayavne ein toikin yechidim. Are you really suggesting that in Yavne and any place where there's a Beis Din of 23, Kontra Rebbe Elazar, a place where the Sanhedrin of 71, but where in Yavne you're suggesting that ein toikin yechidim, that individuals are not allowed to blow the shofar? V'haki also Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef Omar ki mesayim shlucha de tzibura tkia, when the shliach tzibur would finish with the tkias, b'yavne in yavne, lo yishoma inish koil une, a person could not hear anything with his ears, mikoil tkoi di yechidoi, from the tkias, from the shofar being blown by all the individuals, which means besides the shliach tzibur, which was the agent of the Beis Din in Yavne that was blowing the shofar, all the individuals were also blowing the shofar. So you see that not only in Yerushalayim were individuals allowed to blow the shofar, but also in Yavne. So that cannot be the other difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne. El olav, it must be a different difference. To be Yerushalayim toikin bein bizman beizdin, bein shaloi bizman beizdin. When we discuss as to when one can blow, in Yerushalayim you can blow in the time, the first 6 hours of the day, which is when Beis Din sit, and also shaloi bizman beizdin, even when the Beis Din have gone home, you can still blow the shofar. However, be Yavne, in Yavne, Bizman Beis Din, only the time that Beis Din are sitting, those 6 hours, in, one can blow the shofar. Shaloi Bizman Beis Din, but after 6 hours of the day, loi, you cannot blow the shofar. That's what we assume is a difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne, only regarding when, not regarding where. So the Gemara is deducing from here, Ha Bizman Beis Din, however, as long as the time is right, it's within the first 6 hours of the day, there's no restrictions as to where. The restrictions are only as to when. And that's the difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne. Yerushalayim is not restricted as to when, and Yavne is. But as to where, it makes no difference. It can be before the Beis Din and not before the Beis Din. And this is clearly not like Rav Huna says, that v'im Beis Din, which the Gemara explained, im Beis Din means bifnei Beis Din, that you can only blow the shofar before the Beis Din. It's got to be restricted to that particular place. So that's the question against Rav Huna. Answers the Gemara, loy. No, the difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne is not regarding the when, the timing. And then you would say that it would deduce from there that regarding the place, there's no difference, and that would be a contrary to what Rav Huna said. Loy. The difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne is exactly in this point, as to the place where it can be blown. De'ilu b'Yerushalayim toikin bein bifnei Beis Din, bein shalei bifnei Beis Din. Whereas in Yerushalayim, the restriction, it's not restricted to place at all, and you can blow either before the Beis Din or not before the Beis Din. Ubayavne, however, Yavne does have that restriction. Bifnei Beis Din, only in front of the Beis Din you can blow. Even individuals can blow, as we saw before. But the individuals would blow only in front of the Beis Din. Then they can blow. Shaloi bifnei Beis Din, but not in front of the Beis Din. Loi, they cannot blow. And this conforms completely with what Rav Huna said. Ika demasni lo lahadu Rav Huna aha. Others learn what Rav Huna said, and they learn it very differently. And by the way, the Rishonim here discuss why the Gemara was more comfortable assuming that the preference that Yerushalayim has over Yavne is regarding the time, not regarding the place, and only in the Maskona, the Gemara says that we don't have a choice because of what Rav Huna said. It must be that the difference is regarding the place and not regarding the time. But in the Havamin, it was regarding the time, and the Mefarshim, the Rashba, discusses why the Gemara assumed that. Ikadamasti laha deravhuna aha. The Chassid says regarding Yom Kippur. We know that Yom Kippur of Yovel, the Pasuk says, Vavarato shofar trua b'chodesh ha-shvi'i ba'osa l'chodesh, on Yom Kippur, the 10th of Tishri of the Yovel year, b'yom ha-kippurim, taviru shofar b'chol ha-artzichem. You should sound the shofar in all your places. That means it's clearly not just in front of Beis Din. It seems, at least, it can be anywhere. When it says b'chol aratzichem, it must mean not only Beis Din are required to blow, but every single individual is required to blow the shofar. Omer Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, v'im Beis Din. Again, he said, only im Beis Din. We have to know what that means. Ma'i v'im Beis Din. So here the Gemara doesn't say, like we said before, b'fnei Beis Din, it's got to be in front of the Beis Din. No. What does it mean, im Beis Din, says Rav Huna? Bizman Beis Din. It's only in the time of Beis Din. But lafuke shaloi bizman Beis Din deloi. But other than that, that means after 6 hours of the day, you're not allowed to blow the shofar anywhere on Yom Kippur, on Yovel. And the Gemara obviously felt more comfortable assuming that there was no restriction here as to the bifnei Beis Din, the place, because the Pasuk does say, b'chol aratzichem, and it seems to be that you can blow anywhere. Mosiv Rava. So again, Rava's asking a question from a Braisa. It says, Tkiyos Rosh Hashanah v'yovel doiches ha-shabbos b'gvulin, the blowing the shofar on Yom Kippur and on Rosh Hashanah overrides Shabbos b'gvulin, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, ish u'beisoy, literally translated, a man and his household. Asks the Gemara, my ish u'beisoy, what does it mean that a man is chayev to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Yovel, and also his household? Who's the Beisoy? My ishu Beisoy, ilema, are you going to suggest ish v'ishtoy? It means a man and his wife. Itzami mechaiva, is a woman chayev to blow shofar? V'ha mitzvah saseh shazman gromahi. Blowing the shofar is a time-restricted, a time-limited mitzvah. V'chol mitzvah saseh shazman gromah, any mitzvah which is limited by time, noshim p'tura, is nosh, the women are exempt. Elolav, it must mean, when it says ish ubeisoy, it means ish b'beisoy. That every person is allowed to, or is required to blow, or is allowed to blow in his house. It doesn't have to be bifnei Beis Din. It doesn't need to be in front of Beis Din. V'afilu shalei bizman Beis Din. We assume that that means not only are you allowed to blow in your house, but you can blow in your house even after 6 hours of the day. And that's not, like Rav Huna said, that Rav Huna says im Beis Din, and the Gemara says im Beis Din means it's got to be the first 6 hours of the day. Answers the Gemara loy. No, la'olam bizman Beis Din, that it must be talking about only, or at least according to Rav Huna, it's only in the first 6 hours of the day. The first 6 hours of the day, you can blow even in your house. It does not need to be in front of the Beis Din, but it does need to be in the Zman of the Beis Din. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is now asking the following question. We saw earlier on in the Mishnah that shaveh ha-yovel Rosh Hashanah, there's a similarity between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah, litkia, regarding blowing of the shofar, ulebrochis, and the formula of the brochis that was said on Yom Kippur, similar to Rosh Hashanah. Elo, says the Gemara, shabi yovel toikin bein bebezdin shekidshu boyes ha-chodesh, regarding Yovel, you can blow the shofar on Yovel either in a place where there's the big bezdin of 71, which is the mount of the Sanhedrin, where they would do the Kiddush HaChodesh, where they would determine when the Rosh Chodesh was. And this is following the opinion of Rabbi Lozoy in our Mishnah, that says you blow the shofar anywhere where Lo Hiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zake Elo Biyavne Bilvad, which is where the big Sanhedrin was. And regarding Yovel, you can even blow the shofar if there's a smaller Beis Din, even in the places where the Beis Din of 71 is not positioned. And every individual is chayev to blow. We'll soon come back to that. However, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, which falls on Shabbos, they would only blow the shofar in the Beis Din where there's 71, only in the big Beis Din, v'ein kol yochid v'yochid chayev litkoya. And this is like Rebbe Lozor that we mentioned in the Mishnah before, that in Rosh Hashanah you can only blow on Shabbos in not the first halacha is not necessarily Rebbe Lozor. Because there it says Obein Bebezin Shaloi Kitchubois Achoidesh. But regarding Rosh Hashanah, it's only in a place Obezin Shakitchubois Achoidesh, like Rabbi Lozo said, that Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, you can only blow the shofar where there's the Beis Din of 71, which is Yavne. Ve'ein kol yochid v'yochid chayev litkoya, and the requirement is not on every single individual. Asks the Gemara, my ein kol yochid v'yochid chayev litkoya. What does it mean that on Rosh Hashanah, then not every individual has to blow the shofar? I'm suggesting that on Yovel even individuals blow. Ubereish Hashanah ain't taking Yichidim, and on Rosh Hashanah only agents, if it falls on Shabbos, only agents of Beis Din are allowed to blow the shofar. We already saw before that's not the case. V'haki Aser of Yitzchok Bar Yosef Omar, ki have a Messiah Shlicha the Tzibur at Tkiasa beYavne. When the Shliach Tzibur would finish the Tkia in Yavne, then lo yishoma inish koil unya, a person couldn't hear himself mikol tkui diyichidoi, because of the tkiyos of all the individuals that were blowing there as well. So it's clear that the individuals were allowed to blow the shofar even on Rosh Hashanah. So what does it mean here that the Braith says that we saw in the Gemara that on Yom Kippur kol yochid v'yochid chayev litkoya, and on Rosh Hashanah ein kol yochid ein toikin yichidin el olav? It must be as follows. De'ilu b'yovel toikin bein bizman Beis Din, bein sheloi bizman Beis Din. It must be that on Yovel you can blow either at the time, the first 6 hours of the day, which is when Beis Din sit, bein sheloi bizman Beis Din, and that's what it means that the toikin yechidim, that yechidim means in a time where Beis Din don't sit, which means every person in his own time, any time during the day, is allowed to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur. That's in Yovel. That's even Shalei Bizman Beis Din. However, Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, Bizman Beis Din in the first 6 hours of the day, which is the time that Beis Din sit, that's when the individuals are allowed to blow. Shalei Bizman Beis Din, which means in the time of every individual, not in the first 6 hours of the day, loy, then you're not allowed to blow the shofar. And we saw this already before, that Rav Huna said, according to the Ikka D'Masni, that on Rosh Hashanah, this is like we saw before, that there was a discussion, according to Rav Huna, you're not allowed to blow the shofar only in the Zman of the Beis Din. Ktonimius, but what? Either way, what did we see here? That B'yovel, Bein Bizman Beis Din, Bein Shalei Bizman Beis Din, we see here that Yovel, when that's what it means, that Kol Yochid V'yochid Chayev Litkoya, that on Yom Kippur of Yovel, you blow the shofar also when the Beis Din sit, the first 6 hours of the day, and even later on, not whenever you want. And this is contrary to what Rav Huna said, because Rav Huna said that on Yom Kippur of Yovel, Rav Huna said, V'im Beis Din, Umay V'im Beis Din, Bizman Beis Din. We saw before in the Ikka D'Masni of Rav Huna that even on Yom Kippur of Yovel, you're only allowed to blow the shofar the first 6 hours of the day, not after that. And here it would seem that Kol Yochid V'yochid is Chayev Litkoya, means that you can blow any time of the day, says the Gemara, no, Loi. La'olam bizman Beis Din, the truth is it could well be like Rav Huna said, that on Yovel the individuals and anybody is only allowed to blow in the first 6 hours, which is the hours that Beis Din sit. V'hochik toni, the difference between Yom Kippur, that kol yochid v'yochid chayev litkoya, and the Rosh Hashanah, which ain't kol yochid v'yochid chayev litkoya, is as follows. V'hochik toni, b'yovel bizman Beis Din toikim bein bifnei Beis Din bein shaloi bifnei Beis Din. Of course it has to be at the first 6 hours, but whereas in Yovel you can blow in those first 6 hours either in front of Beis Din or not in front of Beis Din, however Bereish Hashanah it's not like that. Toikim bizman Beis Din, then ubifnei Beis Din. Not only on Rosh Hashanah, on Shabbos, do you have to blow in the first 6 hours, but it also has to be bifnei Beis Din. So when it says that every kol yochid, and not kol yochid, is not regarding the time, it's regarding the place. And that's how the Gemara's answered the question of Rav Sheshes. Itmar nami. Now we also learnt in a brisa like Rav Huna, Omer Rav Chia Bar Gamda, Omer Rav Yosi Ben Shaul, Omer Rebbe in the name of Rebbe, Ein Toikin on Yovel. Rashi says this is referring to Yovel. Ein Toikin Ela Kol Zman Shabeis Din Yoshvin, like we saw in the Ikka D'Masni of Rav Huna, that regarding Yom Kippur, we only blow the shofar in the first 6 hours in the day and not after that. Boy Rabzeira asked a question: what happens if Ninaru Lamoid, the 6 hours were over and the Beisdin stood up and were ready to leave, V'loy Omdu, and then they sat down again in order to continue looking into something that had suddenly come up at the end of their session, and they extended the time that the Beisdin were sitting? Mahu, what's the halacha? Is it called Beisdin Yoshim Ba'inon? Is the main prerequisite that the Beisdin are sitting and the Beisdin are sitting? V'ha'ika, they are here. Oy Dilma, maybe not. Zman Beisdin Ba'inon, you're only allowed to blow the shofar in the original allotted time that Beisdin typically sit, which is the first 6 hours. V'leka, and over here, it's after 6 hours of the day. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel explains this Gemara. And the Gemara says, Teiku, there's no way of resolving that. We have to let that stand. Continues the Gemara, V'oidzois hois Yerushalayim Yisera al Yavne V'chulei, we saw the end of the Mishnah, that the difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne is whereas in Yavne you could only blow the shofar bifnei Beis Din, as we've learned now in the Gemara, whether it means before the Beis Din, that means in front of the Beis Din, or at the time of the Beis Din, or both, but either way it's restricted to the Beis Din here, whereas in Yerushalayim the permission to blow the shofar was even beyond the Yerushalayim proper, and on condition that four conditions were met, and then it can be considered similar to Yerushalayim. Number one, that Roye, one can see Yerushalayim, V'Sheimas, and hear Yerushalayim, U'Kroiva, and close to Yerushalayim, V'Yechoyle Lovoy, and was accessible from Yerushalayim. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. Roye Prat L'Yosheves B'Nachal, to the exclusion of a place which is in the valley. If it's in a valley and therefore cannot see Yerushalayim, then even though it's close by, it's not. They cannot blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it's on Shabbos. Shemas Prat L'Yosheves B'Rosh Ahor, when it says you have to be able to hear Yerushalayim, but if you're very high up on a mountain, you cannot hear Yerushalayim, and therefore you cannot blow the shofar on Yerushalayim, on Rosh Hashanah, on Shabbos. Kroivo, it's got to be close by. Prat L'Yosheves Chutz L'Tchum, it mustn't be more than 2,000 Amos away from Yerushalayim. V'Yichoy L'Lovin, it's got to be accessible from Yerushalayim. Prat L'Mavsik L'Onaro, and to exclusion of a place where there's a river interrupting between Yerushalayim and this place, even though it's less than 2,000 Amos away, and even though it can hear and see, but since it's not accessible, one's not allowed to blow the shofar there on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah. And so that's the end of the Gemara on this first Mishnah. Now in this first Mishnah, which we saw on Daf Chavtes Amud Beis that we've just finished learning about, that's where we saw that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a decree, was a takona, that they would blow the shofar wherever there's a Beis Din, they would blow the shofar even on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah. And that is the second takona, decree of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in this Masechta. On Daf Chav Aleph we saw already a previous one. We saw in Daf Chof Aleph, Omud Beis, we saw there that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, made a takona that Shelo yu mechalin elo al Nisan val Tishri bilvad. It's regarding being mechal Shabbos, they would only be mechal Shabbos for the months of Nisan and Tishri, and you can refer back there to remember what was going on there. That was the first takona of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The second one was here on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, we've just finished learning about. And now in the next Mishnah, we're going to learn a third and fourth takona of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We're going to learn a total of 9 takonis of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And now we're going to learn number 3 and number 4. Barishoino, at first, hoyo halulav nitoil b'migdosh shiva. In the Beis HaMikdosh, they would take the lulav, there would be a chiyuv to take the lulav in the Beis HaMikdosh for all 7 days. And this learns from a pasuk, usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim. But outside the Beis HaMikdosh, there was only a chiyuv min haTorah to take the lulav on the first day, as it says in the pasuk, v'lokachtem lachem b'yom harishon. Mishachorav Beis HaMikdosh, once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, hiskun Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted us to remember that in the Beis HaMikdosh there was a chiyuv to take the lulav all 7 days, so he made a decree, sheyei lulav nitol b'medina, Shiva Zeichel Migdosh, that one would take the lulav all 7 days of Sukkos outside, anywhere, even outside Beis HaMikdosh, outside Yerushalayim, Zeichel Migdosh, in order to remember what the halachas were in the Beis HaMikdosh. That's one takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Another takana, v'shigehi yoim hanaf, the day of the waving, kulay also should be entirely osa. What was that halacha? We know that it's forbidden to eat from the new produce of the new year until the korban oimer was brought together with the minchas oimer that was woven, that was waving around. They would wave around the minchas oimer in all directions. The hanofas oimer, learnt about extensively in Maseches Menachos. And when would this Korban Mincha, the Mincha Sa'omer, be brought? On the second day of Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan. And Halacha was, and this is learned in Menachos Daf Samaches Amud Aleph, there's a contradiction. In one Pasuk it says, Ad Etzem Ayim Azeh. In another Pasuk it says, Ad Aviachem, which means in one Pasuk it seems that till the 16th of Nisan was not allowed to eat the new produce. It seems that on the morning of the 16th of Nisan, one is allowed to. In another Pasuk it says, you're not allowed to eat the new produce known as Chodosh until the Korban Oimer is brought. The Gemara says in Menachos that Bizman Beis HaMikdosh, then one was only allowed to eat the new produce from after the Korban Oimer was brought. But after, when there's no more Beis HaMikdosh and there's no Korban Oimer, then the 16th in the morning, it was already mutter to eat the Chodosh. That's according to one opinion. We're soon going to see in the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh means you're only allowed to eat Chodosh at the end of the 16th day, not at the beginning of the 16th day, when there's no Korban Oimer. When there's Korban Oimer, everybody agrees you're only allowed to eat the Chodosh after the Korban Oimer was brought. Now, normally, anyone who's there in the Beis HaMikdosh and knew what was going on in the Beis HaMikdosh and knew exactly what time the Korban Oimer was brought, any place further afield, how would they know what time the Korban Oimer was brought and they're now allowed to eat from the new produce? So for that, the Gemara says that from midday, we assume that the Kohanim would certainly have brought the Korban Oimer by midday, and therefore after midday, one was allowed to eat from the new produce, even though you were not witness to the Korban Oimer having been brought before that. Those are the general halachas of Oimer that we're going to need in our Gemara. So now the question is that after the Beis HaMikdosh is destroyed, then according to the letter of the law, as we said now, from the moment, the beginning of the day of the 16th, one can eat Chodosh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said no, that the whole day of the 16th is Osa. And you're only allowed to eat on the next day, that next night, you're allowed to eat from the new produce. That's what it says here. Shehei Yoim Hanaf, the day of the waving, which is the 16th of Nisan, Kule Osa, is entirely Osa to eat from the new produce. And there's going to be two explanations why, either a Gezeira de Rabbonon, or that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda learns that Me'ikar Adin, where there's no Korban Oimer, then Min HaTorah, you're not allowed to eat the Chodosh that whole day. And the Gemara is going to discuss both of these. Says the Gemara, Uminoland of Dinon Zechel Mikdosh. Where at all do you know that there's such a concept? Who gave Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai the idea of doing a Zechel Mikdosh, remembering after the Beis HaMikdosh is destroyed, remember the halachas and the mitzvahs that were done and the way they were done during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh? Answers the Gemara Do Makra. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. The pasuk says, Ki ale arucha loch, Hashem says, I'm going to heal you. Mimakisayich erpoeich, I'm going to heal your wounds. Neum Hashem says, Hashem, ki nidocha koru loch, they called you, the nations used to call Klal Yisrael, discarded and rejected. And they would say that there's nobody who's inquiring, nobody who's seeking, no one who's seeking Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdosh. From these words of Deirish Einlo, that there's nobody who's seeking the Beis HaMikdosh and seeking Yerushalayim, Mechlal Deboya Drisha, we can deduce from there that the correct way is that we should constantly be seeking out the Beis HaMikdosh, even during the time of its destruction. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai learned from there that one should make takonus of Zecher LeMikdosh. Continues the Gemara, but shehei yom anaf kulay osa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that when there was no Beis HaMikdosh, then on the 16th of Nisan, the whole day they were not allowed to eat the new produce. My Tama asks the Gemara, why would that be the case? What would be the source of the reasoning behind such a decree? Answers the Gemara, Mehero yibone Beis HaMikdosh, because we're afraid that suddenly the Beis HaMikdosh is going to be speedily rebuilt. V'yoimru, and people will say, Ishtakeit last year, Milo yachalnu behir mizrach, because we said, the halacha is, according to the Chachamim, that from when there's no Korban Omer, then the morning of the 16th, you're allowed to eat the new produce. So the next year, when suddenly the Beis HaMikdash is built, people will say, last year we ate the new produce, the Chodosh food, the Chodosh produce, right away in the morning. Achshav nami nechol, so we can do the same now. V'loyada, and they won't be aware that the ishtake, the only reason that the previous year, they were allowed to eat the oimer from, they were allowed to eat the chodosh from the beginning of the day, because lo yhava oimer, because it was before the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, and there was no korban oimer. Heir mizrach hitir, and therefore, as soon as it became morning, it was mutter. Hashta, but now that there is a Beis HaMikdash, de'ika oimer, we have the korban oimer, oimer matir, only after the korban oimer is brought, it's mutter to eat the new produce, and not before. And since we're afraid that first year people are going to make that mistake, therefore Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, right through the Golus, on the 16th of Nisan, we should not eat the new produce the whole day. And that way, when the Beis HaMikdash gets built, then worst comes to worst, they won't eat from the new produce, that 16th, but at least they won't be eating it before the Korban Omer is brought. Asks the Gemara, okay, I understand that you're concerned that the Beis HaMikdash is suddenly going to be rebuilt, and people are going to, by mistake, eat the produce in the right at the beginning of the day of the 16th, and that will be a problem. But the Gemara is asking, Demivni Amos, let's try and understand, when are you concerned, when was this Beis HaMikdash going to be built? Ilemed Ivni Bushitzer, are you saying the Beis HaMikdash might get built on the day of the 16th, and then on this day, people are going to eat from the Tevuah before the Korban Omer is being brought? Hareheir Mizrach Hitir, if at the moment that the 16th started, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't here yet, then that moment, the beginning of the day, one's allowed to eat the new produce, like in Golus. Elo, it must be the Ivne B'Chamisar. It must be that the Beis HaMikdash we're afraid, or we're talking about a case, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt any time before the 16th, on the 15th, or earlier, any time. And then the question is, okay, so if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be brought before the 16th, then the 16th, as soon as it gets light, it's not yet mutter to eat chodosh because there's already a Beis HaMikdash, and you have to bring the Korban Omer. Okay, but michatzos hayom ulahalon lishtari, at least let them eat after the midday. Dotnan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, and I mentioned this before, harachokim, those people who lived a little bit further away from the Beis HaMikdash, mutarin michatzos hayom ulahalon, they're allowed to eat the new produce from midday, lefisha'en Beis Din, because the Beis Din are not lazy, and at the very first opportunity they bring the Korban Omer, and you can take it for granted that by midday the Korban will always have been brought. So why are you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, saying that Yom Hanaf, Kuloi Asa, the whole day is Asa? Why should the whole day be Asa? You're worried that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built before, sometime before the 16th of Nisan. Okay, so then we're worried that on the 16th of Nisan people might eat straight away in the morning. We understand that concern. So say that till Chatzos you're not allowed to eat. And then we won't, then that first year they also won't eat till Chatzos. After Chatzos they're allowed to eat. Says the Gemara, no. Lo nitzrecha, we're afraid that in one particular case, that we, even though normally we can assume that the Korban Omer is always brought by Chatzos, but there's one case where we can say, no, there's a good chance that the Korban Omer will not be brought before Chatzos, and therefore, if we don't say that the whole day is Aser, if in the event that particular scene plays itself out, people are going to eat Chodosh before the Korban Omer is offered. What would be that case? De'ivne b'chamisa samuch l'shkias hachama. If the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on the 15th of Nisan, on the first day of Pesach, and it's going to be built right at the end of the day before Shkia, inamid ivne balayla, or the night of the 16th, it's going to be built, and there's going to be a big rush. They're not going to have time to cut and prepare and to roast and do everything you have to do with the Korban Omer before offering it. And therefore, if the Beis HaMikdash gets built that very last second, then there's a good chance that that first year, the Korban Omer will not be ready by Chatzos. And if during the Golus you're allowed to eat the Chodosh produce any time that day, people may come to eat the produce before the Korban Omer is brought. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that Yom Hanaf Kulei Asar, the whole day is Asa, and therefore, in the event the Beis HaMikdash gets built in the last second, and they will bring the Korban Omer on the 16th, but the hours later on in the day, nobody will by mistake eat the produce before the Korban Omer is brought. Now Rashi adds in here, even though we know that normally one doesn't build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov and one doesn't build the Beis HaMikdash by night, and over here the Gemara suggests both. So says Rashi that that's only a Beis HaMikdash that's being built by man, but the built Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash that we're eagerly awaiting for, that's going to descend from the heaven, then it's going to be built by Shemayim, and that's going to happen, and that can happen even at night, and that can happen even on Yom Tov. Continues the Gemara. So till now we understood the first explanation that why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that Yom Hanaf Kulei Asur is in the event that Beis HaMikdash gets built and people will not remember that the difference, the reason that last year we could eat the produce on the 16th is because there was no Omer and now there is an Omer, so people won't know that, and therefore even when there's no Omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said you cannot eat on the new produce on the 16th of Nisan. That was the first explanation. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok is offering a different explanation. Why can you not eat it? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Omra. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is actually following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we mentioned before, that what the Omer that says ad etzem ayim hazeh, that if there's a korban Omer, then one's allowed to eat the chodosh from when the Omer is brought. When there's no korban omer, then not like the Chachomim say you can eat it ad etzem ayim hazeh from the beginning of this day of the 16th. Rabbi Yehuda says no, ad etzem ayim hazeh ad atzmei shel yom, until the entire day is passed, and the whole day of the 16th min haTorah is osur to eat from the new produce. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said on the 16th you're not allowed to eat from the chodosh. Asks the Ukasovar ad va'ad b'chlar. Rabbi Yehuda says that when it says ad etzem ayim hazeh, it means till and including this day. They're not like the Chachomim say till and excluding this day, which means from the beginning of the day you can eat the new produce. No, from till this day, including this day, and only then you can eat the new produce. Asks the Gemara, umisovar lo kavosei. Does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai really follow what Rabbi Yehuda says and holds that min haTorah, where there's no korban omer, you're not allowed to eat the new produce until the end of the day? It seems very clearly that there's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yehuda arguing on this point. Did none we learnt in a mission in Sukkah? Mishachorav Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sheyehe yoyim anaf kulei osur. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he made a decree that was not allowed to eat chodosh the whole day. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda commented and argued and says, why do you feel you have to make a decree? I hold, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda we just saw, that min haTorah, you're not allowed to eat chodosh on the whole of the 16th when there's no korban omer. So what do you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, need to make a decree about? So we see clearly from here that it was only Rabbi Yehuda who says that it's min haTorah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says it's only midrabbanon, and that's contrary. That's not like the Gemara just explained, not like Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok just explained. Answers the Gemara, no. Hasam Rabbi Yehuda Huda Katoi. Rabbi Yehuda made a little mistake in the way he understood Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Iu sovar. He thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai midrabbanon ka'omar. He thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a decree on his own accord, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda argued with him and says, no, it's not midrabbanon, it's not your decree, it's an osur min haTorah. V'loihi midraisa koma, but the actual truth is that it wasn't him, it wasn't that he was making his own gezeira, he was telling us that it's osur min haTorah, like Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchok said, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai holds that min haTorah, it's osur. Says the Gemara, v'ha hiskin katoni, but the word hiskin means that he made a decree. That's what it seems to mean, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instated such a takona. If it's also min haTorah, he didn't instate anything. Says the Gemara, my hiskin dorash v'hiskin. It's not that he introduced it on his own. No, he learnt it from the psukim, ad etzem ayim hazeh, ad v'ad b'chlel. He deduced it from the posuk, and therefore he introduced this. But it's not as if he held it was only his own idea, his own concept. No, he was saying that it's also min haTorah. Since it's also min haTorah to eat chodosh till the end of the 16th, therefore, yom hanaf, kule osur. Continues the Gemara. Continues the next Mishnah. And the end of this Mishnah, we're going to see the fifth gezeira of the fifth takona of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But Rishoyno at first, Hoyu mekablin eidos hachoydesh kol hayom. The witnesses who come to testify that they saw the new moon on the day of the 29th of the month or the night of the 30th of the month, that they would be the whole day of the 30th day of the month, then the Edim could come, they would receive the witnesses, and in the event that the witnesses proved to be correct, then they would say, today, day 30 of the month is actually day 1 of the next month, and the previous month only has 29 days. And they would accept these Edim the whole day, it's never too late, until a minute before the end of the day, they could determine that that day was Rosh Chodesh. Pam achas nishtahu haedim milavoy. At one point, the Edim delayed a little bit, and they came quite late. V'niskalkulu, and it's talking about on Rosh Chodesh Tishri, and it was Rosh Hashanah. V'niskalkulu halaviim b'shir. And the Leviim, they something got messed up with the shir. There's a certain song that the Leviim would sing from the Tehillim, that they would sing every, and when they would bring the Korban Tomid, and they would bring the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim, the afternoon Korban Tomid, on this 30th day of Elul, and because the Edim came after they brought the Korban Tomid, so they brought the Korban Tomid assuming it wasn't Rosh Hashanah, and then after they brought the Korban Tomid, the Edim came and determined it was Rosh Hashanah, and in the event that it's Rosh Hashanah, you say a different perek, things got messed up, and therefore they decided Sheloyu Mekablin Elo Adamincha, they would only receive Edim and let Edim come and testify until the time of the bringing of the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim. And but if Edim would come after the time which they would bring the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim, Neagin Oisayim Kodesh, then they would continue, because they never knew this 30th day of Elul, they never knew in advance whether this day was going to be Rosh Chodesh, in which case it's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Tov. So just to be safe, they would in any case act the whole day as if it's Rosh Hashanah. So the Shir Shel Yom of Shachris, since in most cases the Edim wouldn't come before Shachris, so the Shir that they would say when bringing the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar, that was the regular weekday. Every day of the week has its own shir. We'll see that later on Daf Lamed Aleph. So in the Shachris, they did the weekday. But the Musaf, when it comes to Musaf, there's a special shir for Rosh Hashanah. So over here, if the Edim would come after Mincha, then they would definitely not make this first day to be Rosh Hashanah. They would definitely determine the next day to be considered Rosh Hashanah, and the real Rosh Hashanah. However, Ne'egin Oisayim Kodesh, they would continue till the end of that day, even after it became clear that they would no longer receive any Edim, and this day is certainly not the real Rosh Hashanah, nonetheless they would continue practicing Rosh Hashanah in order that people the next year shouldn't say, oh, just a minute, last year this first day was Rosh Hashanah, the end of the day you decided it wasn't Rosh Hashanah, they're going to come to be lax with the halachas the following year, so they decided that till the end of the day continue practicing Rosh Hashanah. We discuss this at length in Maseches Beitza, Ulamachar, and the next day, Kodesh, because the Edim came too late, the next day, day 31 of the previous month, is going to be the first of Tishri and the real Rosh Hashanah. Ulamachar Kodesh, says the Mishnah, Mishachorav Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed, and now there was no more Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim that could have got messed up by the Edim coming too late, because there's no more Korbanis after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they continued being Mekadosh the Chodesh way after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Even when there was no Beis HaMikdash, they still continued being Mekadosh the Chodesh with witnesses. So Beichnum ben Zakkai said, Hiskunu Beichnum ben Zakkai, Sheyu Mekablin Eidus HaChodesh Kol Hayom. Since there's no longer Beis HaMikdash to mess things up, therefore, then from now we're undoing what we saw early on in the Mishnah, and if Edim come any time of the day before the end of the day, we receive the Edim, and one can be Mekadosh the Chodesh on day 30 based on their evidence. Says the Gemara, Ma kilkulu alaviim bashir. What could have got messed up? Let's try and understand this. We said that they went through the whole day, the 30th of Elul, they were practicing Rosh Hashanah somewhat, but they didn't know if it was actually Rosh Hashanah. And then they brought the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar with the regular weekday Korban Shir Shel Yom, and then they brought the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim, and then the witnesses came and they determined that day was Rosh Chodesh. What exactly got messed up? So it says the Gemara is going to be two explanations. Hocha Tirguma, Over here in Bovel, they explained as follows. Shele omru shira kol ikar. It came to the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim. See, the Korban Tomichel Shachar, even though they didn't know whether this day was going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, nonetheless, the Shachris, since the Edim normally came after Shachris, after the Korban Tomichel Shachar was brought, so they said the Korban Tomichel, the Shir of the regular weekday Shir. When it came to the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim, what shira did they say? So in Bovel they said that they didn't say any shira at all. And then they turned out, because they didn't know, is it a weekday or is it Rosh Hashanah? They didn't say any shira. And then it turned out to be Rosh Hashanah, and then they brought the Korban Tomichel Bein Arbaim without saying the shira of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, there was a takola, and that was the issue that they were trying to avoid. And by the way, Tosfos already asks that if the Edim came and they determined it to be Rosh Chodesh after the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim was brought, there was a much bigger issue than saying or not saying the right shir when bringing the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim. But what happened to the Korban Musaf? If it's Rosh Hashanah, then you have to bring a Korban Musaf, a special Korbanis for Rosh Hashanah. You can't bring Korbanis after the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim are brought. We learned about that in Psochim Daf Nun Ches. So Tosfos discusses that here. But this was the first explanation that what happened there, that there was a kilkel, something got messed up, which is why they said that they're not going to receive Edim after the time of the common Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim. Uxes said the people in Bovel, Hocha, Tirgumu, they explained that they didn't say at all any shir when they brought the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim. Reb Zeira argued and said, no, She'omru shira shel choyl. They actually said the shira that they would have said, and that they would say every day of and every weekday when they would bring the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim, then there was the shira they would say, and that's the one they said im Tomichel Beinu Arbaim. And afterwards it transpired that it was Rosh Hashanah because the Edim came afterwards, and there's a different shira for the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim on Rosh Hashanah than if it's a regular weekday, and that was the kilkel. Omele Reb Zeira, so Reb Zeira who said that they did say a shir, but they said the wrong shir, he said Le'ava Bray to his son called Ava, Puk Toni Luhu, go and teach to them, to those people in Bovel, who said that they didn't say the shir at all, teach them as follows. Hitzkinu Shaloyu Mekablim Eidus Achoydush. We learnt in Abraisa that the reason that there was a takona, that they would not receive the Edim for the Kiddush HaChodesh, Elo Kadesh Yeshois Bayim, unless there was time still during the day, Lehakriv Tamidim, to bring the Korban Tomichel Ben Arbaim, and before it, Umusofin, the Korban Musaf would be brought, Veniskeim, and the Nesachim would be brought with the Korbanis, Veloima Shira, and say the Shira, Sheloi Tishtabish, that there shouldn't be any mistakes. That's what it says in the Braisa. So now Reb Zeira is saying to Ava, his son, If you're going to assume that if we don't receive the Edim early enough, and they bring the Korban Tomichel Beinu Arbaim before the Edim determine that it's a new month already, it's Rosh Hashanah, they said the Shira Dechoil, they did say the Shira of the weekdays, like Reb Zeira explained before, Hainu De'ika Shibush, I can understand that that would be a mistake, there would be a problem. They're saying the weekday Shira instead of the Rosh Hashanah Shira. Elo Iomrus Leomru Klal, but according to what they said in Bovel, that in the event that you don't know if it's going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, and you bring in the Korban Tomichel Ben Arbaim, you don't say any Shira at all, my Shibushik, you didn't say anything. So what mistake did you make? You didn't say anything. Answers the Gemara, no. That's not a good proof that they must have said the Shira Shel Choyl. Kiven de le'omur klal, since they didn't say any Shira, ein lecha shibush gadol mizeh. There's no bigger mistake than that. You brought the Korban Tomichel Bein Arbaim without saying any Shira. That in its own right would be a very big shibush. And therefore we have no proof one way or another. Masiv Rav Acha Bar Huna. Rav Acha Bar Huna asked as follows. Tomid, we learned in a braisa, Tomid Shel Rosh Hashanah Shachris. The Korban Tomid of the morning of Rosh Hashanah, Korav Kil Chosi. even in the event that the Eidim would have come very early, and they determined that the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, the 30th of Elul, is Rosh Hashanah, even before the Korban Tomel Shel Shachar was brought, nonetheless, Korav Kehilchosoi, it's brought as it would on a regular weekday, since in most years they would not determine it was Rosh Hashanah till after the Korban Tomel Shel Shachar was brought. Therefore, the Korban Tomel Shel Shachar was always brought on Rosh Hashanah with the shear of that weekday. B'Musaf, on Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Ma'u, what would they say? Oymer, they would say the Pasuk, and they would say the Perek of Tehillim Pe'alef, the Perek of Haraninu Leilukim Uzeinu, will sing joyously to Hashem, our might. Horiu Leilukei Yaakov, they will blow to Leilukei Yaakov. That's what they would say on Rosh Hashanah by the Musaf. And because it mentions the blowing of the Shofar, that's why they would say it on Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Ubamincha, and by the Korban Tomet Shel Beinu Arbaim of Rosh Hashanah, what would they say? Ma'u Oimer, they would say the Perek of Tehillim, Perek of Tes, the Pasuk that says, Koil Hashem Yochil Midbar, that from the sound of Hashem will shake the deserts. And they would say that Pasuk is because in that Perek, the one mentions the Shofar, and it mentions the Shofar of, or it mentions the Shofar of Matan Torah when they received the Torah, and they want to remember the schus of the Shofar of Matan Torah on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore by the Korban Tomet Shel Beinu Arbaim on Rosh Hashanah, they would say this Perek of Koil Hashem Yochil Midbar. That was the sounds of the Shofars that would shake that shock the desert. Or Bezman Shechol Rosh Hashanah Liyos B'Chamishi B'Shabbos, that in the event that Rosh Hashanah that means the 30th day of Elul is on a Thursday, and in the event that the Eidim came before the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar was brought, so now we have an issue, because what did we say before? We said that for the Musaf, you say the Perek, or Perek Pe Aleph, of Haroninu Lashem, Lelukim Uzeinu, Ariu Lelukei Yaakov, but that is the regular weekday shir of every Thursday. So if you already know it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, then you're going to say the Perek of Haraninu for Shacharis because it's the weekday, it's Thursday. And again, you're going to say it for Musaf. We don't really want to say the same Perek twice in one day. So says the Braisa, Bizman Shechol Rosh Hashanah Liyos B'Chamishi B'Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday and you know about it before bringing the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar, Shashira Sheloi Harninu Lelukim Uzeinu, that the weekday of any weekday of Thursday, the Thursday is the Perek is Harninu, then Loi Hava Oimer B'Shachris Harninu, they wouldn't say Harninu in the morning, Mipnei Shechoizer V'Koyfeles HaPerek, because you would say it again by the Musaf. Elomau Oimer, what would you say for Shachris? For Seyun Shachris, the second half of Perek Pe'alef, they would just say the second half, which is Hasiroisi Misevil Shichmoy, that I'm going to remove from your burden, from your shoulders. And this is referring to Yosef HaTzadik, who came out of the jail on Rosh Hashanah. So they would just say the second half of Perek Pe'alef for Shachris. And then when it comes to Musaf, they would say the whole Perek. V'im bo Eidim achar Tomet Shel Shachar, however, if before the Tomet Shel Shachar was brought, the Eidim had not yet come, then Oimer Harninu, like we said before, it's Korav Kilchosa, you would say the whole Perek of Pe'alef for the Korban Tomet Shel Shachar. Even though in the event that the Eidim come afterwards, then when the Korban Musaf is being brought, they would again say the Perek of Haraninu, they would double over the Perek. That's what it says in the Braisa. So now the Gemara is saying, this is Rav Acha Bar Huna is asking, if you're going to say Kol Heicha de Masapka, whenever you have a doubt whether it's going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, Shira Dechil, that you say the weekday Shira, then we can understand Oimroi v'koifloi, that you say that it says that in the event you didn't know if it's going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, then in the morning Korban Tomet Shel Shachar you say the Perek Harninu, and you say it again for the Musaf. Eloi Omrus, if you're going to say Loi Omur Klal, if you're going to say that in the event that you have a doubt, which is like the Bavliim said earlier on, that the Kilkul was, since you didn't know which Shira to say, then they didn't say any Shira. If you say Iomrus, that Lo Omur Klal, that when you don't know, you don't say any Shira, my Omri V'Koifloi, then you don't double it. Then by the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar. You don't know if today is going to be Rosh Hashanah or not. You don't say any Perek, because we just said now, if it's Rosh Hashanah, you say the second half of the Perek Karaninu. And if you know it's Rosh Hashanah, if you know it's not Rosh Hashanah, then it's a regular Thursday. If you don't know, according to the Bavlim, if you don't know, you don't say any Perek. If so, if you don't say any Perek, then what does it mean that if you didn't know that it's going to be Rosh Hashanah when you brought the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, you'll say Harninu twice? You won't say it twice because you won't say any Shir by the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. Answers the Gemara, no. Shani Hasam de Shira de Yoimahu. There's a fundamental difference between the Shachris, Shir Shel Yoim, and the Shir of the Korban Tamid Shel Beinu Arbaim. He says that in the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, even if you know 100% that it's Rosh Hashanah, you would say Perek Harninu. Because you always say in Shacharis, you always say the Perek of that day. If it would be any other day of the week, where there's no issue of doubling, then always Shacharis you say the Perek of that day. It's true that if it's on Thursday, there's a difference as to whether it's going to be Rosh Hashanah or not going to be Rosh Hashanah. Do you say the whole Perek or do you only say half the Perek? But just because you're going to end up doubling half of that Perek, that wouldn't be a reason at all not to say any Perek. And therefore, you would definitely say the Perek Karaninu if you don't yet know if it's going to be Rosh Hashanah or not. However, when it comes to the Korban Tomid Shel Beinu Arbaim, there is very different. Because there, you don't, by Korban Tomid Shel Beinu Arbaim, you don't say the regular Shir Shel Yoim. You say the Shir which has to be of that day. If it's Rosh Hashanah today, then you have to say the Shir of Rosh Hashanah, the Korban Tomid Shel Beinu Arbaim, which we said that was Koel Hashem Yochel Midbo, was the Perek Choftes. And therefore, it's a Safik. So it could be in the case of Safik, indeed, the Bavlim are right, that if it's a real Safik, that you don't say any Perek. But regarding the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, there it's not a real Safik. It's just about, are you saying the whole of the Perek Harninu or half of the Perek of Harninu? And therefore, in any case, they would say the Perek of Harninu. And therefore, there's no contradiction from this Braisa to what the Bavliim said before. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.